This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
You know what Roosevelt said? I didn't have time to write you a short letter, so I'm going to write you a long letter. So I really worked hard to try and write you a short letter tonight. And the idea is not to give you the full theology of life and the Spirit, but merely to highlight a few key areas tonight. It's amazing, if we think about life and the Spirit, being a Christian, and I'm going to say this, being a Christian is not so much believing the right things as it is freely participating in the life and the mission of God. Being a Christian is not so much believing the right things, not so much cognitively having a great framework of what is particularly right, but it's more about sharing in the life of the triune God and Him and His mission, participating in God and participating in His mission, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is life in the Spirit. And it's amazing if you read what Jesus said to Nicodemus, who came to him, a man who sincerely sought God, a bright man, a leader, part of the Sanhedrin, of the high court of Israel. And he came to Jesus in John chapter 3 and verse 8. He said, he was trying to figure out, now, what is this kingdom of God and how do I share in that? You know, like what must I do right, believe right? You know, he was trying theologically to figure out, how do I fit in the life of God? What part of my thinking must be right? And the Lord said to him, it's not the thinking that's the issue. He said to him, there's something about being born into the Spirit. There's something that is the origin of God Himself that starts a life inside of you. And then he said in chapter 3, verse 8, you know this well. He said, the wind blows where it wants to. Wind blows where it wants to. No one knows exactly where it comes from or where it goes, but he said we can see the evidence of life. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Being a child of God, being a Christian, is all about participating in the life of God and there be a visible sign of another life in us. Another life, another source of life, another type of life in us. Being a Christian is about sharing in the life of God. James Dunn is a great theologian who is a student of John. So he studies all the writings of John. That means the gospel and the letters of John and then the revelation itself. And he studies life and he studies specifically, he focuses on pneumatology, the study of the Spirit of God in the letters of John. What does John, the Apostle John, reveal about the Holy Spirit? And it's beautiful. But then he writes this thing in his summary, in his conclusion. He says many times when we speak about the Spirit of God or God, he would say that we would, he says, if someone would observe church and church life and Christians and their behavior, and they hear we speak about a Father, belief in a Father and the Son, or in a triune God, then he'd say that people will often conclude probably that the triune God, Trinity, is the Holy Father, His Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Church. Or the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures. And Jesus said that, no, I'm leaving something bigger. I'm leaving my Spirit. And the Old Testament believers really, so the church is the people of God's Spirit. The ecclesia is people who are moved by God. Jesus' picture of the tree that is moved by the Spirit. The church in itself are not a people primarily that believe right or think right. Remember that so much of the New Testament, all of the New Testament, was not written from books, but was believers, apostles, trying to make sense of the lives of what they experience. Every single one of Paul's letters, the Gospels itself, every single one of Peter's letters, every single one of John's letters, Jude's letters in the New Testament, it is apostles helping the church to try and make sense of what they were experiencing. So if we read it primarily as a obeys commands to be obeyed, firstly, it's going to be difficult for us to know what they meant, because it was, the church was writing, Paul was writing to Corinth, Paul was writing to Rome, Paul was writing to Philippi, Paul was writing, John was writing to Ephesus, Peter was writing to Rome, and they were trying to help them understand, help them make sense of what they were experiencing, help to give a theologic framework of what they were experiencing. So from that basis, allow me this evening a few minutes. Let me just say, wow, 6 minutes and 20 seconds. Allow me 6 minutes and 15 seconds to just talk about this. I could have said, I'm going to obey myself. This, okay. So when Paul refers to the Holy Spirit, he uses a few words in his writings. And I'm going to focus on Paul's writings this evening. It's amazing. John's writings, when he speaks about the Holy Spirit, primarily speaks about the Paracletos, Christ with us. When he speaks about the Holy Spirit, everything he writes about the Holy Spirit is primarily Christ with us, us fellowshipping, us sharing with the life of the Spirit. I mean, when the Spirit comes upon Jesus in John chapter 1, it's amazing that he says, he's the only one that writes, and the Spirit came down in a dove, and then he adds the words which none of the other Gospels have, and there it remained on him. It's not just a sign. It doesn't come upon him, but it remained. And that word remained is a repetition straight throughout the gospel. We don't always see it in the English, but it remains on him. He says so later, he says that in my Father's house, there are many remaining places, dwelling places. And he's saying, I'm going away, but in my Father's house, in my Father's temple, there are so many remaining places. Where the Spirit comes. He's coming as a Paracletos to live, to remain with us, to stay with us. John's gospel, primarily the fellowship, to share in the life of God, the living Jesus still being our teacher in our presence. Luke's gospel is all about power. When he speaks about the Holy Spirit, I mean literally, Mary, whenever the word Holy Spirit is mentioned in Luke's gospel, it's always, there's always an external sign, Paul's letters as well, always an external sign, something that is visible. I mean, Jesus is pregnant, or Mary is pregnant with Jesus. Mary is pregnant with Jesus, walks up to John the Baptist. I mean, just to think about this. And there, yeah, he tells us all those stories that it's like if the Spirit is mentioned, boom, even Mary or even Elizabeth starts prophesying and jumping and the baby jumping in a womb just because the Spirit. He's saying that if the Spirit comes, there is movement, there is power. I mean, the book of Acts is all about power, tongues, demonstration of power. The kingdom is all about power. The Holy Spirit is all about empowerment. When Gordon Fee wrote a summary of 1,600 pages of the Apostle Paul's letters, his pneumatology, his study of how he views the Holy Spirit, just a few verses, there aren't so many, just a few verses. He's saying that this is my summary of the Holy Spirit. Who is the person of the Holy Spirit? And then he gives this word, Galatians, can you maybe just put that slide up there? It's God's empowering presence. God's empowering presence. Let me skip two slides, please. Ja, gaan nog twee. Thank you, Matthew. God's empowering spirit. And I love that. He's saying that the Spirit is God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. First of all, it's God Himself. The Holy Spirit is not a puff, is not a cloud, is not a feeling, is not a vibe, is not a movement. The difference between a spirit and a power, Dallas Willard beautifully, he says electricity and magnetism have power, but it does not have a personality. So he says the Spirit is a disempowered personal power. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, is God Himself. And you know this text behind me, maybe if you can jump two back, thanks Matthew, jump two back to Acts chapter 5. The story there is that these two leaders in the church sinned against God by being casual with the Holy Spirit and those who mean bodies. And it's a drastic, I mean, this is a hectic piece. Fell down, died. But what Luke Eve is trying to say is John's summary, or his Paul's summary, saying that the Holy Spirit is God Himself. It's not a puff, it's not a cloud, it's not a fuzzy thing. It's God Himself. that comes and indwells with us, that completes the mission of Jesus. Completes the mission of Jesus. It's God's empowering presence. Second one, Romans chapter 8, there's a few scriptures up there, many scriptures, but you can throw here. But it's in God's personal presence. It's not just the fact that the Holy Spirit is God's power in terms of empowering you or moving you or directing you or things like that, but it's God's personal presence. And that is where John's pneumatology and Paul's pneumatology, the writing of the Holy Spirit, is so similar, because it's all about God wanting to be with his people. It's the fulfillment. And in that sense, that's what the Bible speaks about, the promised Holy Spirit. All the Old Testament, Paul writes, I mean, he loves the word that the Holy Spirit is God's promised Holy Spirit. It's what all the Old Testament people always anticipated. They knew that there's something missing. We have a relationship with God, but we're missing the presence of God. So all of them were always waiting for the coming of the Lord's Spirit. The coming of the Lord's Spirit. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Joel, all of them wrote about there will be a time when there will be a new covenant, there will be a new sign, there will be a new thing. And this will be a sign that God's presence himself will fill your lives and will fill your being. That you will no longer worship God in a distance. You know that song when I was a student during the Iraq War? From a distance, God is watching us from a distance. Remember that old blasphemous song? Because it's not as though we serve a God who is deist far there up in the clouds, up there, and he gives us direction. He's Emmanuel, he's present. The Spirit is God's personal presence with us. And so much so that Paul constantly says, listen, if you have a relationship with God, you are filled with his Spirit. You cannot have a relationship with God without being filled with his very presence living inside of us. And sometimes we miss it, like that one kids' church kid who said, next door, he said, Mommy, the teacher said today that God lives in us through his Holy Spirit living inside of us. And his mom says yes. And he says, but Dad, that you didn't hear that. He says, it's grace, it's apostle of grace. Okay. He said, yes, it's true. And he says, but Mom, if Jesus is so big and I'm so small, shouldn't he show? Shouldn't he show? And it's a simple thing, but I want to ask you this. If someone were to observe your life, your day-to-day life as a Christian, they know you believe in him, they know you like him, will they see the tree being moved by the Spirit? Not asking you, do you believe the tree can move? I'm not asking you, was there a time in which the tree moved? I'm asking you, is the tree moving? How is the tree moving in your life? How is your life an evidence of the new covenant of Christ in me, the hope of glory? That is the thing, that's the crux of Paul's theology and with about the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Not Christ in a good Jew, Christ in this pagan man, the hope of glory. I want to ask you, are you hungry to be moved with the Spirit? How hungry are you to be moved with the Spirit? We're going to pray for people later to be filled with the Spirit, Paul's theology. And I want to ask you, not was there a time in which you were filled with the Holy Spirit? But are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Because he said to the guys in Thessalonians and in Ephesians 5:18, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said to them, listen, don't be filled with Netflix. Oh, no, he didn't say that. He said, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be constantly filled. And then I just gave the key of what it is. How hungry are you tonight to be moved with the Spirit? I want to ask you, Jesus said that this will be the sign of those who follow me in the Johannine text. He says, streams of living water will gush from your innermost being. John 7, 38, 39. Streams of living water will gush from your innermost being. Are streams of living water gushing? How are streams of living water? When? Where the streams of living water? Do you desire this evening to be filled with God? I'll come back and just share about his empowering at some point, but I think tonight The Holy Spirit is the director of missions. He's the unifier of the church. He's the one who brings signs and wonders. He's the one who gives us the spirit of revelation, the spirit of holiness. Tonight, I so clearly heard the Lord saying that there will be people that will be set free from sins in their past. That's Paul's theology of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, he makes me holy. That's it. And so some of you tonight may be so, I wanted to use a very bad word that my wife and the people in Namibia use. I won't use that word. But you're so tired. You're so frustrated. You're so over falling over the same sin over and over. And Paul said to the church in Corinth, he said, he says, among you, he says, know this, that no fornicator, adulterer, homosexual, thief, covetous person, or greedy, or any of blasphemous person will enter the kingdom of God. But then he says, such were some of you, but you were washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this evening I have such an expectation of people being set free from stuff that keep them bound. That stuff that you, when you prayed and saw the Lord in front of you, the love of your soul and, or the Father, and you just felt so distant because of this thing that you and Him know is there. And this evening I just know that the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty, liberation, freedom of bondage. So I'm going to ask Niels to come forward, but I want to sing a song as Niels comes forward. I want you to close your eyes, and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. No, not that one. If you know this song, then when you sing it with us, I know that we're on YouTube, and I so wish we could cut this out, but anyway. So let your Holy Spirit come over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my mind. All my cares and burdens unto you I roll. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let your living water, let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my mind. All my cares and burdens unto you I roll. Sing, Spirit. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. Amen.
Yes. Oh, Lord, thank you for your presence, God, that you are here. That you are here, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you were here long before we came here. That you are here. That your heart is for us, to be among us, to fill us. And to show the glory of Christ through your bride, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just want to come humbly before you and say, Lord, we are in desperate need of you. We want to ask tonight that you will speak to us, that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray that you will give us the boldness to respond as you speak to us. And Father, we just want to say thank you that that we are safe with you, that you are here, that you are here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just say, Lord, we are excited. We need your ministry. We need his ministry. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit so desperately in the church, I believe. Like, we're living in an information age. And people want to taste and see the Lord's goodness. And he has given the Holy Spirit so that something of the Lord, something of heaven can be revealed in us and through us different gifts, different fruits, and all of that. But the main thing of the Holy Spirit is that you might know Him, that you might know Christ, that you might know the power of His resurrection and not love your life unto death, so that the Lord may get the glory at the end of the day. And I'll be honest with you, I'm also just learning. Hi, my name is Niels. I'm learning to walk with the Holy Spirit and in these busy times to be interrupted by Him in my life, and moments where I think busyness is probably the biggest disease of our time. And here we go. And I'm just learning with Him. But I know the invitation to learn with Him and walk with Him is not mine alone, but it's ours. It's ours. You get in contact every day with a lot of people that will never come here. But you can take the kingdom there. And the kingdom is found in Him. It says that the kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace. Where? In the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, in Holy Spirit. So I want to say to you, He's here tonight. He's here, and He's not here because I feel He's here. He's here because He says He's here. It's His Word, right? Amen? And we're just going to trust Him tonight that He will touch us, and I'm trusting and we're believing that He will touch you. And you will not walk out of here the same. Amen. That you will go out here differently, that the Lord will touch you. I heard this morning that Hebrides revival started while people were walking out of the church. How good is that? Revival started when you go out the church. On your way out, I've heard of people getting healed as they walk out of church just because they were thankful and chose that. Like sometimes we get into this rut that we think here is where stuff happens. But I'm telling you, God is with you. He's with you when you sleep. He's with you when you wake up. He's with you when you go to work. He's with you when you have relationships and converse with people. He is with you. He is always there. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on what He has done and what Jesus has paid for and why Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, like Ross, you're an amazing teacher. I just want to say that. Like, I just thought, like, you must just go on until 3 o'clock tomorrow morning because I just love that. And I want to honor you. I just want to, sorry, I'm diverting here. But when I think of you, He who has clean hands and a pure heart, ascending the hill of the Lord. And I just feel like this thing on my heart that the Lord is calling and inviting you up His holy mountain and where He's got revelation for you. I just feel like this, may this be a season of revelation knowledge in Christ Jesus for you in this time. You know you have an amazing pastor, right? Okay. You know that, right? All right. So whenever I, as in this journey where I'm just trusting the Lord to show me what He's doing and to walk with Him, I think that's always a big thing to comprehend. I don't think the question is ever, Lord, what should I say? The question is, Lord, what are You saying? And I want to say that. Do you hear me? Right? Lord, the question isn't, what do You think about your boss? The question is, God, what do You think about my boss? That's how I want to look at my boss. That's the words I want to speak to him comes from that place. And so whenever I spend time with the Holy Spirit or just have to minister, I like just to say, is it okay if I kind of teach how I do it as well? And you can take it or leave it. I believe the key to Holy Spirit ministry is this. You are here. Just close your eyes for a moment. Open up your hands in front of you. Just say, you are here. You are here. It just helps me to get over the fear of what if I'm wrong? What if I mess it up? What if, I don't know, what if nothing happens, Lord? What do I do then? And I think all these things make us super reluctant to walk with the Holy Spirit. And I just have two words for people that I just want to give you a word. I saw you and I just feel like the Lord is saying something about freedom for you. Like there's something, a season of freedom that's in front of you that the Lord is inviting you into. Right? Like sometimes, I don't know, maybe sometimes you feel like, what I sense is like sometimes you feel like boxed in, perhaps unsure. But I kind of saw you on a beach with the Lord, but in a relaxed, like in so much peace. So may this be a season of peace for you where the Lord will break down the walls that you feel is keeping you to a certain extent, keeping you in. Does that make sense to you? So you can just say yes or no. And you can say no as well. I'm super okay to get it wrong. Okay. And I just saw you. I want to bless you. I can't see the color of your t-shirt. I think it's like orange. Yes. Like I just saw the spirit of revelation on your life. Like the revelation in revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I just feel like the Lord is inviting you in a season where he's going to be teaching you and giving you words and stuff in the secret place, like keys even for where you are at in the season you are at and decisions that you have to make in this season. So I just want to bless you with that your spirit will hear, that your spirit will receive everything that the Lord has for you, right? And I just believe the Lord is saying he will go in before you and you will see with every step you take on your road, you will see, it's kind of like you will see these markers and you will just know that you know that God has been here. God has been here. Okay, so I just want to bless you guys with that. Awesome. Guys, I think when we are in church and it's family time, and it's family time for us. It's family time when we spend time in the Holy Spirit. And there's something I just quickly want to share with you that I believe just paves the way for what God is wanting to do in your life. Like we live in a season of masks, right? I'm so tired of this. Like I heard somebody say the other day, he said this to his congregation. He said, you guys moan about the mask, but some of you guys have been wearing masks for years and years and years. I'm like, whoa, dude, that's hectic, but it's true. And I heard this saying of John Andrews. It changed my life. He said, God cannot change the person you are pretending to be. That's a good word. Amen. God cannot change the person you are pretending to be. Like whenever it comes to Jesus and Jesus touching our lives. Now there's moments God works sovereignly and he moves sovereignly. But there's moments where God asks our participation, our response to what he's saying. And you know what that asks of each one of us? Vulnerability. Vulnerability is a super powerful thing, and it's different than transparency. I believe all Christians should be transparent. Like transparency is you looking into my house and you, my life is an open book. You can look at it, see in. Vulnerability is me giving you the keys of my house to come in and to rearrange what is happening in my life. Now I can't be vulnerable with everybody because I can't allow that. That's a big thing, right? But whenever it comes to the Lord, vulnerability is a key if you want to see the Lord move in your life. And I want to tell you why. Because it's in the light where the blood of Jesus manifests. And I just feel like there's some of us that the Lord is calling out of the shadows. And even today in church, like we've sometimes I see the church lurking in the shadows. Because of things like shame and guilt and condemnation and all of that kind of stuff. But tonight, I want to invite you to be vulnerable with the Lord. To be open to Him affecting you, if that makes sense. Him affecting your life and Him speaking into your life. I was super good at hiding, and I can still do it today. And what kept me in hiding was shame for a long time. It's just, I fell for the lie of shame, and not shame I did something wrong. Shame is an identifier, so it will tell you you are wrong. Not you did something wrong, you are wrong, right? And shame manifested in my life for a long time, and it manifests in three ways. Basically, hiding is the one, and I'm super good at that. I can hide in a crowd. How's that, right? And whenever you're a leader of anything, and you have the power to almost lead a group, you can easily let other people do what you do not want to do, or lead them to places where you do not want to go. Right? Hiding is the one thing. Aggression is the other thing that will keep you, that shame will lie to you. And I will be aggressive to keep people away from me. Right? But I'm afraid to be known. That's the big thing. And the last one was performance. Like, I will see what people value and I will become that. So then I won't be rejected at the end of the day. Right? And I just have this sense like the Lord is wanting to break off shame and guilt and condemnation and invite us into the light, because he's wanting the blood of Jesus to manifest in our lives and over our lives. Like, God is wanting to touch your life and to change you and to mold you and to make you if you will allow him. And I love what Ross says, like, the gospel is not only something to know, but it is something to be lived out. Like, I read the scriptures and I read Acts and I say, Lord, that I want. I want that. I don't want to miss out on what you want to do. And since we've embarked on this journey, it's been a crazy ride. And sometimes you get stuff right, sometimes you don't. But we've seen amazing stuff happen already. Narina prayed for somebody the other day that God healed of gluten intolerance. Like, that wasn't even on my radar for stuff to pray for. And here comes the Lord, boom, he does that. Huh? Like, he can do more than we can think or imagine. And I just sense God is shifting the boundaries of possibilities, because where is anything is possible. My question to you tonight is, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? When we take away everything, who are you? And who of you guys have the Holy Spirit? Who believe you have the Holy Spirit? Like, hands up. Not a trick question. Hands up. Okay. I want to ask this question. It's one thing to say, I have the Holy Spirit, but here's the question. Does the Holy Spirit have you? That's the question. Does he have me? Does he have me? And I think that's the big question to grapple with for us as Christians. And we want to come to the Lord tonight, and we want to say yes to him and yes to everything that he has done and the price that he has paid for. Like, Jesus paid a price, and I want to see him get the reward that he paid for at the end of the day. Amen? Are you guys okay? I think the Lord's going to do open heart surgery, like that word that came out earlier. And I believe he's going to rectify lies. He's going to expose lies, because here's the reality: is you cannot renew your mind with your emotions or your past. Will not help you. Your future will look like your past if you do that. We need to renew it with truth. So many times I'm like, Lord, I don't feel you. I don't need to feel him. He said, he's here. So I say, Lord, you are here. I'm not afraid of what I feel. And sometimes I bring, you know, have you ever had this moment where you don't feel like praising the Lord? There's some of you that's amazing. Never had that. Like, there's these moments that I just feel like, I don't, actually, let's see. You know? Actually, let's see. And then we bring what? A sacrifice of praise, right? And we bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. in those moments. And those are powerful, powerful moments. But you know what I have learned? The Bible calls thankfulness and praise a sacrifice, but it never calls worship a sacrifice. Worship is, you won't find in the Bible, it's never called a sacrifice. Because I believe in true worship, what happens is you don't bring a sacrifice, you become the sacrifice. That is what Romans 12 speaks about when it says, give your body as a living sacrifice. Worship, you don't bring a sacrifice, you become the sacrifice. And I love what all the revivalists say, fire falls on sacrifice. It's me getting on that altar and say, Lord, here I am. We were in America, and there was this guy with a rodeo ministry. If you ever had that, it's the coolest night I've been to. Like, we go to the rodeo show, and this guy, he's got a ministry where he breaks in a horse, like, in front of a crowd. Like, this horse would be put down otherwise, and he goes around and says, no, give the horse to me. I'm gonna invite 1,000 men, and I'm gonna do this in front of them and teach lessons while I get thrown off a horse. It's amazing to watch this. This guy is like a really cowboy guy with a hat and I don't know what you call those, boots, and everything. Was super cool evening. But it was amazing. He said he starts off, this horse doesn't want to come near him, and all he tries to do is make eye contact. And he says that's the moment of change. And you can see the moment. You can see he locked eyes with this horse, and all of a sudden something changed in that horse. And he goes, and then he goes closer and closer and closer. And there was this moment where he wanted to get on top of the horse. And you could see this horse is not into this. He does not want this guy to get on his back. And the horse is kind of agitated. And he said this one thing to the horse, and it just wrecked me. he said to the horse, I am not afraid of what you are afraid of. Like, the horse is afraid of him getting on his back. And I want to say to you tonight, God isn't afraid of the things that you are afraid of. He's not afraid of that. Are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to get on that altar? Are we willing to say, Lord, here I am? The whole point of the gospel is you coming as you are and leaving as he is. That's the point of the gospel. But I want to say to you, I believe God is wanting eye contact with his people. And he's saying, I'm not afraid of the things that you are afraid of. And can you guys come up? And we're just going to spend some time praying for people and just trusting the Lord for breakthrough. And I want to be super vulnerable and just tell you guys where I am at. Like, I'm learning. I'm learning. And it's scary, but it's amazing. It's amazing to be a part of what the Lord is doing. You know, if you work for God, that's like super tiring and depressing. But if you work with God, it is the most satisfaction you will have on this side of eternity. Holy Spirit ministry is not my ministry, it's his ministry. He's saying, Lord, what do you want to do? And what do you want to say to your people? And I think that is what we're trusting for tonight. That the Holy Spirit, who is here, will touch you. And will touch your life and will change you. But it will ask something of us. It will ask just a simple response of us and just to say, yes, Lord. That's all that God can. A yes without a mask. A yes without pretending. A yes. God isn't afraid of your sin. I want to say that. I feel like somebody needs to hear this. Like, God isn't afraid of your past. Amen? I can say glory, hallelujah to that. God isn't afraid of that. Like, I was a mess. And I'm still in process. But you know what? Sometimes I feel like I don't have enough faith. And the Holy Spirit asked me, Niels, why do you like to make it about you all the time? I don't feel like it. I don't have enough faith. I don't know what to do. Like making it all about me. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's about getting our eyes off us and getting our eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the possibilities that open up after that is just, it's endless. It's ultimately His truth that will set us all free. Will set us free. I'm trusting the Lord tonight. I'm going to pray for sick people as well tonight, and we're going to trust that the Lord was going to touch our bodies. My wife would have come along tonight. She had a last chemotherapy last week, Thursday, and she's super tired, so she couldn't come tonight. But we are in a hectic season where sometimes I don't feel like I have enough faith. Like, but I can't take my feelings and try and renew my mind with my feelings. I want to take the truth. I want to take the truth and say, yes, Lord. But I want to tell you something. Like in this time when my wife has been sick, I went to pick her up on Friday morning. I get there. She's ministering to everybody in that room. They were transporting her from Paul Mediclinic to Panorama. And on the way, the medic guy needs to sit with her in the back. And she starts ministering to this Muslim guy, and she leads him into an encounter with Jesus where he sits for 20 minutes just like, for the first time, a man that says he's too afraid to talk to God, and he experiences something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Like God is the God that takes our lives and He makes it like, He takes it, He molds it, He makes it, He makes it a testimony. He makes it our messes. God makes our testimony at the end of the day. And it's, I want to encourage you guys not to be afraid of where you are at and to be so aware of where you are not. Like some of you are so aware of who you are not. Like may you walk out of that tonight into who you actually are. Like, do you hear what I'm saying? Like sometimes we can be so aware of who we are not. What I have to change, and I'm just sensing God is wanting some of us just to walk into, it's a season of walking into who you actually are, walking into who you are. So just to be super vulnerable, like that's where we are. We're just trusting the Lord. Say, Lord, come, touch our lives and make us and mold us into your image. Not sure how we're going to do this tonight. Like I said, we're family. So let's trust the Lord and let's spend just some time just listening to Him. So, and responding to Him. I think the cameras is going to be on or off while we, they're going to put the cameras off while we spend time in ministry. So you don't have to be afraid of the cameras. And we just want to trust the Lord. Hey guys, we just sang, right? Lord, take us onto the water, right? Like sometimes I realize, like, if I want to see something different in my life, I probably should do something different in my life. And I'm like not that person. I'm like the same karang ons aan. En as ek nog harde kwas ook. So my vrou het al haar dae beteken met my. But I'm just at a place where I'm like, I don't care, Lord. Just come. Just touch my life. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and not love my life unto death. And I want to ask you, like, do you feel known? Do you feel like, are you standing outside and looking in? Or do you feel in where He is at? I love Peter's life, and I think let's start there tonight. Like, I love Peter's life. Like, he's just this crazy out there guy and get called by Jesus in the Sea of Galilee, and then he goes on this journey and he goes on this journey where, I don't know, if you read the Gospels, like I think he got it right once, but the rest was just like he rebuked the Son of God. Like, that's not a good idea to start off with, but he rebuked Jesus. And And he always seems to be this guy that said the wrong thing at the wrong time. Just this character that Jesus just took along for a ride. I must give it to him. He did get out of the boat. The other guys did not get out of the boat. He got out of the boat. I'll give him that, right? But then he goes and he says to Jesus, "I will die with you." And when push comes to shove, what does Peter do? I snare a line. There he goes. "Peter, thank you. Die with me. Let's go for it." And he's ridden with shame and he's ridden with guilt. And he's just like, it's a mess for him. And he doesn't have a way out. And what is so beautiful about Jesus is they go. What does Peter go and do after that? He makes a mess and then he goes fishing. What else can you go do? Go fishing, guys. You kind of know what I'm saying, right? We get Peter on this. Like, man, let's just go fishing. And Jesus comes to him again. And Jesus calls him. And he recognized Jesus, right? And what is amazing to me about that story is on the same shore where Jesus first called him, it's the same shore that Jesus restores him on the Sea of Galilee. On the shores where he first heard the voice of the Son of God calling him. And I just feel like God is restoring callings tonight. He's restoring callings tonight. Like, God is a God of second chances. He gave Peter one. And on that moment, Peter came to him and he kneeled in front of him and said, "Lord." And Jesus touched him and Jesus filled him. And what did he say to him then? He said to him, "You're going to be the leader of the church." And he filled him. And in Acts, you see a different Peter. Why? Because of Holy Spirit. Because of a man broken and surrendered to the Lord of God. Isaiah 57 says, "God lives in high and holy places and with the lowly and the humble of heart." It is in that broken humility where God finds us, where our confidence is in Him and not in anything else.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.